Good morning. We're going to call the Government Operations and Elections Policy Committee meeting to order. I have minutes from March 26th. Can I have a motion on those minutes, please?
Mr. Chairman, I move the minutes from March 26th.
Representative Pugh moves the minutes from March 26th. Any discussion to those minutes? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Minutes are approved. I want to thank everyone for coming in today for an important function and duty of our committee. Hopefully everything will go smooth and quick and everyone can go have lunch on a patio or something like that. Seems nice out there. But this is an important function of our committee, so we do want to take the appropriate time to have the discussion with these individuals as they seek to be appointed and confirmed to the Campaign Finance Board. With that, we'll just get started. And Mr. Sandy, if you want to come on up, we'll welcome you to the committee. If you would just introduce yourself for the record, and then look forward to hearing from you and why you seek a reappointment to the Campaign Finance Board.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. My name is Christian Sandy. I am seeking reappointment, or actually reconfirmation, to the Campaign Finance Board. I was first appointed in October 2013 to fill the remainder term of Andy Lugar after he was appointed to be U.S. Attorney for Minnesota. So I was actually in front of your committee a year ago with Representative Sanders there as well, and was confirmed last year by the Senate and the House. And then that term expired in December. The governor reappointed me. And so now I'm seeking confirmation to a full term of 4 years. I'm an attorney in private practice. I grew up in Minnesota, in New Brighton, not far from Representative Runbeck's district. I went to college at Hamline University, law school at William Mitchell. I'm in private practice. My firm, we mainly do class action, antitrust, and securities fraud cases. Prior to my appointment to the board, I also did election law and political law. I was a treasurer for, oh my goodness, numerous different political action committees and candidate committees from 1996 up until about the year before I was appointed to the board. One of the conditions that I made for myself to the governor as part of being appointed to the board is that I would not handle any election or political law on any matter that could come in front of the board during the time that I served. So even though that is a former area of my practice, it's not something that I do now. I'm actually just moving to Minnetonka right now. I used to live in Minneapolis, but now my legislators will be Representative John Applebaum and Senator Terry Bonoff. I can tell you that the reason I sought appointment to the board and the reason I'm asking to be reappointed and reconfirmed, it's, as I said, this is an area of law that I practiced for, my goodness, almost 20 years, 15 years. And I think that it's important for the Campaign Finance Board to understand not only the policy but the practicalities of the regulated community and the intent behind the laws as much as the laws as they are written. I think the board functions extremely well. I think it helps that we have members who serve for lack of a better way of putting it, party-designated seats, so that you've got three Democrats, three Republicans. I'm seeking confirmation to one of the Democrat seats. It means that nothing can come out of the board that is not bipartisan, because it requires a majority vote of four. And I am particularly happy that as long as I've been on the board, I think probably before then too, this board does not function in a hyper-partisan way. We all know where everybody stands, but we work together. If I were to draw a contrast, I would point out the Federal Elections Commission, which is largely paralyzed because the members of the commission hew to their party line, and no one breaks ranks, and so you end up with paralysis. That doesn't happen on the Campaign Finance Board. Here, it's also, to be honest, it's really an honor to be counted among the other members of the board, where I've got former Senator Ed Oliver, who's behind me, and hopefully Senator Carol Flynn, Dan Rosen, one of the most prominent attorneys in the Twin Cities. George Beck, former chief administrative law judge. We have an open spot that we'll have to fill yet. But to be counted among all of them is really quite an honor. And so to conclude, I can tell you what my goal is as a board member for the coming term is to really increase the availability of information from the Campaign Finance Board, primarily by our website, but also to the public in general. I think it's very important that people be able to access information as it is filed with the board, so that they can understand political spending and sources of political dollars in Minnesota, lobbying as well. And part of the problem that we face as any government agency is that there's so much information to be able to make it easily digestible to the citizens of Minnesota is a challenge. Otherwise, you just get lost in the fog of war with how much information there is out there. We're going through a very large website revamp that the legislature funded last year, in the last biennium, and we have a little bit of the money that we haven't used yet, so we have legislation pending asking you to allow us to carry that over. There's not a budget increase. We function on about $1 million a year. There's practically no turnover among staff, which I think also goes to speak well of the board and our management. I think our challenge now, as I said, is to find a way through our new website to get information out to people so that they can make informed decisions about their government, and that's really what I'll be focused on in the coming term, if you confirm me.
Thank you, Mr. Sandy. And again, members, we would be voting on recommending Mr. Sandy to be reconfirmed as a public member to the board. And I will make a motion that the appointment of Christian Sandy be recommended to be confirmed. With that, we'll move to member discussion. Any member questions or discussion? Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Sandy, I guess one of the questions I would have is, are you married? And if so, what is your spouse's political affiliation?
I'm not married. I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. Representative Scott, I'm not married.
All right, very good.
Representative Scott.
Thank you. And then what do you see as maybe some things that the legislature could do to help improve the board?
Mr. Sandy.
Mr. Chair, Representative Scott, at this point, because we're really working to find a way to make the information that we have available by our website in a way that is understandable. I guess, you know, it's an insightful question you ask, and I thought about that this morning because it's actually the same question that Representative Sanders asked during my confirmation hearing last year. I don't think we're in a position to ask for more money. Maybe in the next biennium, but for the time being, we're fine with what we have. I guess what I would like from the legislature, particularly over the next 9 to 10 months, is as we roll out our new website, I'd be particularly interested in feedback from you as members and from your constituents as to what are the problems that you're finding with our website, with information from the board, and are there other things that we can do to make the information more user-friendly? And Representative Scott, I'll give you an example. Last week, the board released our overview of 2014 expenditures and sources of political funding from the election cycle last year. And in the number one election race, the one that had the most spending in St. Cloud between Representative Knobloch and former Representative Zach Dorholt, the spending was $960,000 between independent expenditures and campaign expenditures. In that race, what the ratio of independent expenditures to campaign expenditures is 8-1. I believe the second most expensive race was Representative Seltzer's race, where the ratio of expenditures was 6-1. I don't make a judgment on whether that's appropriate use of money and whether the law should be changed. I think that's your venue. But I do think that it's important for people to be able to understand the sources of money, so to understand where that comes from and how the money is spent, so that then your constituents can communicate back with you, and then you can make you can have discussions with us about the laws that you might want to adjust. What's most important to me is that information is readily available to you as a legislator, so you can do that and you can have intelligent conversations with your constituents. It's hard to find that information now. So as we work on a significant revamp of our website, I guess I would ask two things. Could we have a little bit of time to get the wrinkles ironed out, meaning between now and let's say the end of the year? And secondly, I know that our executive director communicates with legislators often about what new information that he has. He's always very reachable. He answers his own phone. I'm curious to hear what your and your colleagues' thoughts are on the website, and if we're spending the money that you've given us in a fair and intelligent way.
Representative Scott.
Oh, thank you. So with your previous, the statement that you alluded to before about the expense of the races and the expenditures therein, do you have a disagreement with the Citizens United decision then?
Mr. Sandy.
Mr. Chair, Representative Scott, I guess I have two points on that. First of all, as a member of the board, in my official capacity, it's not my position to disagree with that. We follow the laws passed by the legislature. And so that Citizens United is the law of the land. And that is what's going on with spending. My own view of Citizens United is that, I guess personally, I don't have a strong opinion one way or the other. My own thought when I see all of this money, what I tell my friends and other folks, if you and I were chatting over a cup of coffee, what I might comment, don't these people have better things to spend their money on? You know, I mean, scholarships, housing, you know, whatever. However, it's their money, and they can spend it however they want. And if they want to give $100 million to a candidate, the Supreme Court has opened that up, and they can choose to do it. I think my direct answer to your question, Representative Scott, is that democracy is self-correcting, and that I think if we are able to provide information about how money is spent, and the public at large choose to look at some corrections to the Citizens United decision based on the information we provide, I think that's yet to come. And that's my thought as well. I think it's too soon to see the effects of Citizens United and whether it requires a legislative or congressional correction.
Any other member questions or discussion? Seeing none, thank you very much for your time, Mr. Sandy, and for your service on the board. And I will renew my motion that the appointment of Christian Sandy be recommended to be confirmed. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You. Members.
Next we'll bring up Mr. Rosen. Mr. Rosen, welcome to the committee. We'll follow in a similar vein. If you would just introduce yourself for the record and introduce yourself to the committee, and then I will also now make the motion that the appointment of Daniel Rosen be recommended to be confirmed. Mr. Rosen.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Daniel Rosen. I'm a lawyer in Minneapolis. I was born in St. Paul, grew up half in St. Paul and half in Edina, graduate of the University of Wisconsin at Madison and the University of Minnesota Law School. Before I went to law school, I was an officer in the United States Navy. I have been a lawyer in Minneapolis, where I have a law firm downtown called Parker Rosen, and I practice principally in the areas I think of what are commonly known as commercial litigation and real estate litigation. And I've been practicing for a little bit over 20 years now. I think it's 21 years next month that I graduated from law school. When I was asked if I would be interested in serving on the campaign finance board, I was interested because I view it as a board that actually is in a position to do some harm. and I thought I might be in a position to be able to help prevent the board from doing harm. And what I mean by that is, you know, the board exists for the purpose of ensuring that laws that are intended to give a level political playing field are properly followed. But I think it's also something we can probably all observe, that sometimes the board and those laws are used by people on the political playing field in order to try to tip it in their direction. And I think it's, and if I thought if I could contribute in any way to the board, it would be to help, and not to say that the board was doing anything other than this before, but it would be to help ensure that at least during my tenure on the board, the complaint process and the other processes that the board follows are not used by the political players in order to tip the field in their direction, but that in fact that the playing field remains level. In my brief tenure on the board thus far, I've observed it to be a well-operating board and with very good people that are serving on the board, and I hope that I'll be able to uphold the standards that my predecessors have set.
Thank you, Mr. Rosen. Then you will be filling the slot of a public member. What is your political affiliation?
Republican.
Thank you, Mr. Rosen. Members, any questions or discussion? Representative Nash.
Chair, thank you. Mr. Rosen, question for you. Mr. Sandy had alerted us to any potential conflicts that he had. I believe he recused himself from campaign finance. Is there anything that you would feel free to or feel the need to recuse yourself from in this capacity?
Mr. Rosen.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nash, are you talking about from prospective votes that that the board may have to?
Sure, correct, yes.
Look, there is nothing that I specifically foresee that I would need to recuse myself from. I don't have any particular involvements that I would think would raise any likelihood of needing to recuse myself in the future, but obviously if there were matters relating to individuals or entities with which I had relationships that would make it improper for me to vote, I would recuse myself. But truly, I can't think of anything that I think is likely to arise.
Representative Nash.
Sure, thank you. It was just a question. I was pleased to hear the foresight on the last one, and just thought I'd ask the same. And then
I lack some of Mr. Sandy's foresight.
Well, given that you attended Wisconsin, you know, perhaps we won't hold that against you.
I made up for it by coming back to Minnesota for law school, Mr. Chairman.
No, I just wanted to ask a question, Mr. Chair. Nothing else.
Excellent. Any other member questions or discussion? Representative Scott.
Thank you. So I probably asked you some of the same questions I asked the previous person. If you are married or living with someone, have a significant other, are they of the same political persuasion as you?
Mr. Rosen.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Scott, I am married. My wife, Jody, we've been married. Well, maybe I shouldn't have started this sentence because now I have But it will be 22 years in a few months. I think we agree more than we disagree. My wife is one of the typical types of voters that are capturable, I think, by candidates from both parties, more capturable than I am.
Her name is?
Her name is Jody. Oh, yes. Okay, see, I'm a little slower. I'm also slower than Mr. Sandy. But I would say that we agree more than we certainly agree more than we disagree on what I think we both consider to be important political matters. As I say, I think she's probably more capturable by candidates from either party than I am.
Representative Scott.
Thank you. And then if you could just kind of give your opinion on Citizens United and, there's been a move in the legislature by Representative Winkler to address that with the bill that he's pretty adamant about, and just wondered, if you're willing to express your
Mr. Rosen.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Scott, the first thing I would say with regard to it is that as a member of the Campaign Finance Board, I'll follow the law. Citizens United is the law, regardless of whether or not I agree with it. That said, I will tell you I generally agree with the Citizens United holdings. My feeling is that laws that restrict the freedom of speech are generally laws that erode the quality of our democracy. I certainly recognize that money is used for both positive and for nefarious purposes in our society, and politics are no different than other areas in that regard, and that appropriate laws designed to protect our political system from the nefarious use of money are fine, but I have deep concern about crossing the line to restricting speech that is protected by both the Minnesota and the federal constitutions.
One more question.
Representative Scott.
Mr. Chair. Mr. Rosen, I think it was not this past election, but the one before that, there were some charges having to do with photographs that were used by certain candidates that they didn't pay for, the fines and the penalties, I guess, that you would say were, in my view, very minimal compared to some of the, and these were Democrats, and the fines and the penalties against this group, I think there's 13 of them, seem to be pretty light in comparison to some of the penalties given out to Republicans that had lesser charges. And so I just want to put that out there as that as being a concern. And when we have supposedly an equal number of Democrats, Republicans, and then one supposedly independent person on the board, I just wanted to put that out there as a concern that, and maybe bring that to your attention, that even though the Campaign Finance Board, we want it, the perception is that it's fair, that sometimes it isn't perceived as fair. So that's really more just a comment than anything that you would to respond to unless you wanted to.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Scott, I appreciate the comment, and I will have it in mind as I go forward.
Thank you. That's all, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Rosen, seeing as how Representative Winkler's bill has been brought up, where do you stand on disclosure? I mean, I've got a brother that likes to whisper in my ear rather loudly at times about he doesn't care how much money spent on elections, but his idea is that within 24 hours of being spent, it needs to be reported who spent it. I think that's the gist of Representative Winkler's bill, is to have not limit the spending, but disclose who's doing the spending. And right now, large groups can put large amounts of money and hide behind a PAC and say, and we don't know where the money comes from. And I think disclosure, myself, is a good idea because it tells us whose message is out there, and then you can judge for yourself whether you agree with that message or not message based on who's saying it. So where do you stand on disclosure?
Mr. Rosen.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Nelson, just as I believe that more speech is good for our democratic process and that greater restriction on speech is bad for our democratic process, I tend to categorize disclosure within the former category. That is, it is more speech. And accordingly, the idea that people are aware of who's advocating for what, generally people having that awareness, I think, is a positive thing in our system. And as a general philosophy, I believe that that greater disclosure is positive for our democratic process.
Thank you, Mr. Rosen. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess this would be more of a statement, but we've heard a lot of this session, a lot of talk about it, and talk about how certain labor unions have spent lots of money, and labor unions on the Citizens United were also granted the same rights as to spend their money more freely than they were in the past. But the thing is, with the labor unions, they have to disclose. They have to fill out an LM2 every year and tell how much they spend on elections, and they have to do it through a PAC, and they have to disclose that, where some of the other groups do not have to disclose. And that's, because that's the gist of what Representative Winkler's bill is for more disclosure, so that people can make an informed choice when they go to the voting booth as to what message you want to listen to. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other member questions or discussion? Representative Runbeck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Mr. Olson. Thank you for desiring to seek a position on the board. But I just wanted to further discuss the issue of disclosure. And I don't know if the fine line you were referring to had to be between the opportunity for individuals to be targeted for the kind of campaign expenditures they make, but clearly disclosure has its limitations and its concerns as far as individuals then being frightened from being able to do what they wish to do. So, I mean, where do we draw that line? Do you have any thoughts?
Mr. Rosen.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Runbeck, in response to the previous question, which was where do you stand on disclosure, I expressed a general philosophical belief that disclosure is a positive thing. You're now really asking me how much disclosure should be mandated. I'm pleased that I did not put myself out in front of voters like you all did, and accordingly I now am not in a position to be voting on these laws that have to draw those lines. But I will tell you, just as much as I believe that disclosure is a positive thing, I believe that disclosure is a tool, or compelled disclosure is also a tool that can be used to stifle speech. And some of our richest American tradition is in speech that was anonymous. The Federalist Papers were written anonymously. Some of our great pamphleteers at the time of our Revolution wrote anonymously. The notion that their identities would be compelled to be disclosed, I think, would have been considered anathema to our founders. The notion that somehow compelling their disclosure would be an improvement to American democracy rather than an impairment of American democracy, I think, would have been considered a notion that would have been rejected by our founders. We live in times that are not 1776, and our Constitution is one that I think has certain fields of tolerance. But I will say that I do believe that the use of compelled disclosure to actually stifle speech is wrong.
Thank you, Mr. Rosen. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Fenton.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Rosen, for your service to the board. currently, how many members are on it?
Six. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry.
Representative Fenton.
So all six positions are currently.
Oh, there. I'm sorry.
Mr. Rosen.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Fenton, I misunderstood the question. It is the statutory number for the board is six. There is currently one vacancy, to which, to my knowledge, the governor has not made an appointment yet.
Representative Fenton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And is there a certain party affiliation balance that would need to be with that sixth appointee?
Mr. Rosen,
Mr. Chair,
call it Mr. Beck. or Mr. Goldsmith too, if you don't have an answer.
The statute has a couple of different categories of characterization of members, and one relates to experience, but the other category relates to partisan affiliation. And put in simple terms, the statute says that, as I understand it, no more than three can be Republicans and no more than three can be Democrats. And the statute uses statutory language, shall we say, to say those things, but that's fundamentally what it means. And my understanding is that Governor Dayton appointed me to fill a position that does not require prior legislative experience, that is one that, that does not call for prior legislative experience, and one that is not a Democrat. I'm not.
Representative Fenton.
How long has this other, how long has this vacancy been on the board, this one vacancy right now?
Mr. Rosen.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Fenton, I assume you're talking about the one that's open right today,
right,
as we
yes.
speak today?
Yes.
It is the, Chairman, Chairman Weiner, whose last meeting on the board, I believe, no,
we'll just,
you know,
we'll
I'm going to defer that to Mr. to somebody who knows better than I do.
Welcome to the committee, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Gary Goldsmith. I'm the Executive Director of the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board. Mr. Neil Peterson was serving in a position for a former Republican legislator, and he unexpectedly resigned after the January meeting, so the position was open for the February-March meeting and today's meeting. So that's the position, a former Republican legislator. Mr. Oliver is, in fact, a former Republican legislator, but he does not fill the slot. With that qualifications, he fills the slot just for a Republican, so the governor will need to appoint a former Republican legislator.
Mr. Goldsmith, have you spoken with the governor's office? We know the timeline on when that appointment would come down.
Mr. Chair and members, when I've spoken with the governor's office, they tell me that they have a lot of appointments to make and they're working on them. I have encouraged them to make this appointment as quickly as possible.
Thank you, Mr. Goldsmith. Representative Fenton, any final questions?
I think that's it. I just would urge that Mr. Goldsmith, along with all of the board members, you included Mr. Rosen, would encourage the governor to fill that position sooner rather than later. Thank you.
Any final member discussion or questions? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Rosen, for coming before us today. I'll renew my motion that the appointment of Daniel Rosen be recommended to be confirmed. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. And finally, we'll call up Ms. Carol Flynn. Welcome to the committee, ma'am. It'll be same as the two previous gentlemen. We'll just have you introduce yourself for the record and then introduce yourself to the committee, and then we'll open up for questions and comments at that point in time. Members, I'll make a motion that the appointment of Carol Flynn be recommended to be confirmed. Ms. Flynn?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Carol Flynn, former state senator from South Minneapolis, DFL slot that I'm filling with Senator Weiner's retirement from this board. It was important that we meet the statutory requirement of a DFL legislator who is retired serving on this board. And I also thought it was important to have a woman on the board, so I agreed to apply. I have a lot of experience. I served in the Senate for about 11 years, but that was a long time ago. And when I was there, my volunteer treasurer didn't have access to the software that now exists for treasurers or the training and such that goes on today. So it's been kind of an eye-opener for the few meetings I've been to since my appointment to find out how complicated the system has become. But at the same time, you now have procedures whereby treasurers are alerted when they're reaching maximum contributions or other signals that it's time to keep track of something a little more closely. I'd be happy to stand for questions.
Thank you, Ms. Flynn. Any member questions or discussion? Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Same questions, different verse. Obviously, we know that you're a Democrat and so forth. Are you married to a Republican? Is he going to influence your vote, or he's?
Actually, we started out in different parties, but we, after 60 years, agreed on the same party today.
Wow!
So you won, huh?
And then, if you want to address, thank you, Mr. Chair. If you'd want to address the Citizens United issue, as I've asked the other candidates.
As the other members have stated, I obviously support the law, and that is the responsibility as a member of this board. But I tend to think of free speech as being the significant, important part of that legislation. But I also like to know who the speaker is, or who they are. And so to that extent, that would be my position, but it clearly is not relevant as things are that I've seen so far coming before the board.
Thank you, Ms. Flynn.
And then, Mr. Chair, thank you.
I can.
Sorry.
We can
I'll
come
pass.
Back to you.
Yep, I'm good.
Representative Rumbach.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative or Senator Flynn. Nice to see you. Like you, I knew those laws so well back in the 90s when I served in the Senate, and they have gotten more complicated. And I'm just curious if you have any position, is there any issues right now looming out there with regard to lobbyist reporting? I mean, I think that's been a tremendous advancement. And is there any work we need to do in that area to tighten up those? Well, I know it's not, you're not going to decide the laws. But I mean, as you see the whole area of legislative or lobbyist influence, is that, you know, been improved a great deal because of the reporting?
Ms. Flynn.
Mr. Chair, Senator Rumbach, I'm afraid I don't have an opinion at this point, but part of that long life that I've lived so far, I was a lobbyist myself, and I know that that involves a need to be legitimate in what you do and keep track of how you're spending your principal's money. And if there are bills before us, I'm afraid I'm not familiar with them before you.
All right. Thank you.
Any other member questions or discussion? Representative Nash.
Chair, thank you. And Senator Flynn, question for you, as I had asked the other two. Well, Mr. Sandy preempted that, but do you have any personal political leanings or interactions? I see that you've been a lobbyist and worked for AFSCME. Would you feel the need to recuse yourself from certain things?
Oh, I think not, Mr. Chair. Representative, I've been a volunteer in a variety of organizations since my retirement, but I have no monetary connection with any of those organizations at this time.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nash.
Chair and Senator Flynn, so you're no longer an active lobbyist, registered lobbyist?
No, I am not, and have not been for about 25 years, I suspect.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nash.
So you're fully recovered.
Yes, and in fact, I became a senator after that.
Mr. Chair, nothing further.
Thank you. Any final member questions or discussion to Ms. Flynn? Seeing none, thank you very much for your time before the committee. I will renew my motion and move that the appointment of Ms. Carol Flynn be recommended to be confirmed. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. With that, members, that completes our agenda. Mr. Goldsmith or Mr. Beck, I don't know if you have anything that you need to address the committee on. Otherwise, any final member questions or discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could you just kind of outline for the committee what I know we're going to have some meetings or committee hearings coming up. Could you outline what those are?
Thank you, Representative Scott. Looks like as of now on Tuesday we will have the pension bill and maybe a couple other small bills on Tuesday, but we'll try and get everything into one hearing if possible. So it looks like Tuesday as of now will be the day that we will have to come back.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other members or it looks like we might have one bill on Thursday as well. We'll make sure that we email everyone and let everyone know. Any other member questions or discussion? Seeing none, with that, members, we are adjourned. Thank you.